The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, happy Ascension Day. All right, technically Ascension Day was Thursday, but we are celebrating it here today at St. Cross. Jesus' ascension into heaven, celebrated on Ascension Day. What is ascension? Well, let me tell you. We celebrate this week that 40 days after Easter, after the resurrection of Jesus, like both of our scriptures talked about, went up to an area with his disciples and was taken up to heaven in bodily form. It is something that is marked in our creeds, both in the Nicene Creed and in the Apostles' Creed, when we say he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. It is an ancient and possibly even apostolic celebration. We have written remnants of the Ascension Day being celebrated as early as the 5th century, around 400s, but many of the early apostolic fathers mentioned the celebration of Ascension Day in their writings, and it could have been started by the very apostles who were with Jesus. So Jesus' ascension is incredibly important to Christianity. In fact, it's considered an ecumenical and universal feast, which means it's supposed to be celebrated by all Christians in all places and is equal to Good Friday, Easter, and Pentecost. The ascension is profoundly meaningful and important to our faith. So why? Well, first, to know the importance of Jesus' ascension, we have to look at the opposite, his descension. And there are two descensions that Jesus took part of. The first one was when he became incarnate in human form. The Apostle Paul writes in one of his letters how God poured himself out into human form in Jesus. And so Jesus, descending from heaven and becoming human incarnate, took on every aspect of human life. So when Jesus walked on this earth, he experienced all that it means to be human. He was hungry. He was tired. He was angry. He was overjoyed. He was sorrowful, or full of sorrow. He felt pain. He felt shame. He felt love. Every aspect of what it means to be human, every emotion, every feeling, Jesus knew. He participated in. And this was the first descent from heaven to earth. Now, there's a second descent that's actually mentioned in the Apostles' Creed, which is the earlier of the two statements of faith, written probably around the year 150. And in the Apostles' Creed, it says one of two things, depending on the manuscript that we have. Some of them say that he descended to the dead, and others say that he descended into hell. Now, throughout most of Christian tradition, theologians have said that what happened was that after the crucifixion, Jesus triumphantly descended into the land of Sheol, or the place where the dead went. And when he was there, he proclaimed to the saints the good news of God in Christ to the people who'd already died. That's a very traditional view of what Jesus did after the crucifixion. But in the 20th century, a Catholic theologian by the name of Hans Urs von Balthasar decided to actually address the other statement, that Jesus descended into hell. Hell being not just a place where the dead were, but the total absence of God. Now, Hans Urs von Balthasar, with a name like that, he was very smart, very intelligent, very profound, and he said some things that were very deep but also confusing. So I'm simplifying and synthesizing some of his teachings in the next couple points. For the human, in the human experience, death is failure. And so von Balthasar said that after the crucifixion, Jesus passively entered into the utmost failure. Rather than being triumphant, he passively moved into failure, into the very absence of God, and went to the very depths of hell, the very depths of apartness, of separateness from God. And so doing this, it means two things. That God has experienced the absence of God. And the flip statement, since Jesus has experienced the absence of God, God can now be found in the absence of God. I know, it's a little confusing. But that was, so these are the two descents. First, the descent into humanity to experience all of what it means to be human, and then the descent into hell to experience all that could happen to us possibly after death, being apart from God. So then Easter comes, the resurrection. Jesus is alive, back with the disciples, in his resurrected form. And the resurrection reveals God's full glory and conquest over death, every kind of death. Jesus, in these last 40 days on earth with his disciples, proclaims to them the mission of repentance and forgiveness of sins, and that these disciples are to go out and proclaim this mission to the entire world. And in these last 40 days, Jesus has been inspiring and preparing his followers for what is to come, the reception of the Holy Spirit. But that is next week's sermon. So we get to this point 40 days after Easter, and Jesus ascends into heaven in bodily form in a cloud. And here's why the ascension is so important to our faith. First off, both of our scriptures talks about how the message of the good news of God in Christ is to start in Jerusalem, but go out to the world. Now, as I'm sure as excited as the disciples were that their risen Lord was alive and with them, it really is an economy of scale. For Jesus to stay on earth would limit the message. Jesus had to go so that the Holy Spirit could come and enkindle in all of our hearts and in the disciples' hearts the love and passion for God that is our mission and purpose in the world, to spread the good news. But here's the other reason why the ascension is so important, and it's reflected in the statement that Jesus sits at the right hand of God. This is archaic king-kingdom language. So for someone to sit at the right hand of a king is to be equal to the king, to have the king's power and authority, to be at one with the kingship. So for Jesus to sit at the right hand of God, being ascended into heaven, means that all that Jesus knew, the entirety of human experience on earth and in hell, is now a part of God. Our joys, our fears, our shame, our struggles, our failures, all of us, the entirety of the human experience is now a part of God. And as a part of God, it is holy. Allow me a story to explain. About 10 years ago, a dear friend of mine and I were sitting in her apartment one Sunday afternoon after church, talking about her mother's death. You see, at this point, Kieran, my friend, was about 30 years old, but her mother had died when she was a young girl of cancer. And although Kieran wasn't a Christian, she'd come to church with me occasionally. And that morning, the sermon was about healing from cancer by prayer. And it didn't resonate with Kieran. She was kind of upset by it. And we were talking in her apartment later on, and I could tell something was wrong, that she was uncomfortable with the sermon. And I didn't know what it was then, but I can tell you it was the Holy Spirit now that led me to say to her, "Kieran, I didn't know your mom, but I can tell you, I know that the day that you were crying because your mother died of cancer, God cried too." And all of a sudden, her face shot up, and she looked at me with these wide eyes, and she was powerfully still for a couple seconds, and a tear rolled down her cheek. And I don't remember what we talked about, but I do know that at that moment, I realized that something had changed for Kieran in her understanding of her mother's death. Now, thankfully, one of my friend's great gifts is that she is an author. And so several years ago, she actually wrote a story about this experience. So allow me to share with you Kieran's own words about that very moment. "I could feel a tear slip out of my eye. I didn't have time to think about what David said, only to feel it. But I realized that up until that moment, I'd never seen God as human, as feeling. I'd only seen him as black and white, and mean and nice, and good and bad, and caring and not caring. And I suppose I had put him in the bad category regarding my mom, and I'd lost faith in him. I'd stopped believing, and up until that day, I hadn't known what was irritating me. Something barely perceptible, like a small fuzz on your eyelash that keeps you from seeing clearly. It irritates you, and you swipe at it, missing it again and again. When David said that, I found the fuzz, and I cried because I saw something clearly. I believed him, and God slowly became a friend again. We met again that day. I welcomed him through the window along with the sun. He came back to me, she came back to me, and we were no longer alone." You see, we worship a God who knows what it means to be human. And so our shame is no longer shameful. We don't need to be afraid of our fear. In our loneliness, we are not alone, and our pain is lessened because it is shared. And all this is possible because we worship a God who has been there. Amen.